Greetings. Greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. That's right, it's the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. It's the show where we don't take calls. We don't tolerate sponsors, but we do help focus you on the events of the week through the lens of original thought, or in the case of today, the events of the last couple weeks, because we've been out on the road. We've been gone. We've been out on the road at the International Conference on Creationism in Ohio. For those of you in the audience who listen, who are not creationists, you are foolish, and you should have been there, or you should have cared. Well, you didn't have to actually come to Ohio, but it was quite a trip. You can tune into Real Science Radio this Friday to hear more about that. We won't be talking about that much here because the information is compartmentalized, and it's only doled out on a need-to-know basis. So we'll do that on Real Science Radio. But we might talk a little bit about the road here on the Weekly Worldview this week. Should I start with tales from out on the road? Or should I start with In-N-Out Burger? Well, I'm kind of hungry. So maybe I'll start at In-N-Out Burger. In-N-Out Burger, we have a story here from LegalInsurrection.com. Someone named Lucky Tran, Dr. Lucky Tran, if you can believe that. I'm already thinking this story is fake. In-N-Out Burger has banned employees from wearing masks without a doctor's note. Right? And so I had to double and triple check this story because Legal Insurrection listed the source as activist Dr. Lucky Tran. And anyway, I checked it out a couple of different places, and it seems like the story is true. Dr. Tran, Lucky is his name, he released a doc. He linked to a document that states, "We believe this policy will help promote clear and effective communication, both with our customers and among our associates." Because they realize nobody can understand what anybody's saying with the mask on. And so while In-N-Out Burger does seem to screen its employees, and it screens out most of the pale, tattooed, pierced, depressed types, most of those are screened out, but a few slip through, obviously, these days. And so those pale, pasty, tattooed, pierced, depressed types, they still want to wear their mask. Because, you know, they're scared. And so In-N-Out has had enough, apparently, and management has decided that you will only be able to wear a mask with a doctor's note. Now, the policy only affects stores in Arizona, Colorado, Nevada, Texas, and Utah, because California has a law that employers cannot ban masks no matter what, never, ever, ever. Even if they're robbing the place in California, you can't ban the mask, because California, the mask is sacred. It's part of the death cult that governs the state out there. Anyway, first of all, I want to say that we appreciate the good intentions of In-N-Out management, but what they don't seem to understand is that it was the coercing of doctors to pretend that masks could protect people against the cold virus that was one of the central empowering fallacies of the coronavirus hysteria. Yeah, don't you remember? The doctors. And In-N-Out still wants to encourage doctors to help people pretend that a mask can protect them from a cold virus. And so, as usual, even people trying to do the right thing don't know what to do anymore. And anyway, employees who insist on masking, I mean, they should be counseled. We need to have pity on people who've been abused, right? people who aren't all that bright, people who were never trained to think for themselves. They were brainwashed in the government schools, so we have to have some pity on them, and so we should counsel them. And then if they're unable to acknowledge reality and take the mask off, they should be fired. You know, like a civilized place. You fire people who are crazy or unmanageable or self-destructive or delusional. You just fire them. Anyway, so there you have it. Now I'm even more hungry because now I'm thinking about In-N-Out Burger. But I have to set that aside because we have to get on with the show. We were out. I was out at the International Conference on Creationism out in Ohio, and I stayed over with a longtime friend of the show, and I met my first Navy SEAL. Well, not my first Navy SEAL ever, but the first Navy SEAL I've had a conversation with since that Navy SEAL kicked out the back window of my car back in Okinawa. Have I ever told that story on the air of the Navy SEAL kicking out the back window of my car? You don't think I've ever? I won't tell it. So everyone who knows me has heard the story at least 100 times. And so I'll leave that aside. I won't bore you with the story of the Navy SEAL kicking out the back window of my car back when I was a young service member. And the Navy SEAL I met over this past week, he shall remain anonymous. We'll just call him Bob here on the show. We'll just call him Bob. Anyway, it was funny. So you can tell when a guy's the real deal if he doesn't really lead with the fact that he was a Navy SEAL. You kind of have to coax it out of him. Yeah, well, he was in the Navy, and he did this, and he did that, and then you could tell by where he was. He was out on Coronado Island, and then, you know, 25 minutes into the conversation, you kind of, through deduction, you just figure out, well, this guy was a Navy SEAL. All right, so that's the real deal. Anyway, I asked him. I said, hey, Bob, can you tell me if something I heard about the Navy SEALs is true or not? And he immediately said, it's probably not true. And then I asked him the question, which is classified, so I can't get into it here on the air. I asked him the question about, and then he, I don't think he ever quite answered the question straight up. But since it's all classified, I figured I'm just going to let it slide. And you'd have to torture me, waterboard me to get any more of that conversation out of me. So we'll leave Bob and the Navy SEALs aside and we'll move on to Ray Epps. Ray Epps is not a Navy SEAL, nor was he ever a Navy SEAL. And he claims he was also never an FBI agent, that's just not true. Well, he was probably never an agent. But he claims he was never employed by the FBI in order to stir up the relatively dim-witted MAGA folks out there at the Capitol. Not all of them were dim-witted. Don't get me wrong. There are just a lot of relatively dim-witted MAGA supporters who could be riled up into, a bit of a dust-up there at the Capitol on January 6th. And we have Ray Epps on tape with a bullhorn shouting at people to go into the Capitol. And for some reason, Ray Epps was never arrested. And anyone who has reported on the fact that Ray Epps was never arrested and that he was possibly planted there by the FBI in order to stir up something resembling an insurrection, you're just declared you're a conspiracy theorist and all that. Well, we now read from the LibertyDaily.com that the self-declared January 6th orchestrator, Ray Epps, self-declared. Yeah, I mean, he doesn't have to self-declare it. He's on videotape orchestrating, saying, go into the Capitol on a bullhorn. So he says he's planning to sue Fox News for defamation for accusing him of being in the employ of the FBI or the federal government or possibly the CIA or the CFR or the ATF or the LSD. He was in the employ of someone, and he says that's defamation. He's planning to sue. He's planning to sue Fox News. He's demanding an on-air apology, a retraction of any accusations that he's ever done anything untoward. And he wants a retraction regarding Tucker Carlson's claims that Epps may have been working for federal law enforcement. I don't think Tucker said he may have been. I think Tucker said he was. And that's because it's so obvious that he was. But now he's going to sue. And in the spirit of Dominion voting, right? And Hunter Biden's lawyer, Abby David Lowell. Did you get the picture of Abby David Lowell sitting on his front porch this past week? Did you get that picture? So in the true spirit of Dominion and Hunter Biden's lawyer, who's now Hunter Biden is going to sue people who claim that he's a bad person. So in the spirit of all that, Ray Epps charges forward. Never assume anything is too brazen. The more brazen, the greater potential for return in the modern political environment. The more brazen you can be, the better. In an increasingly lawless environment, the most brazen and audacious liars can overcome those who are compromised by their own complicity in the lawlessness. So Fox News is so riddled with corruption and guilt and leftism and just sleazyism and just fake, phony, fake, fakeism that they don't want to go to court with anybody because it'll all come out how fake they are. And so Hunter Biden's lawyers got him over the barrel. Ray Epps got him over the barrel. Fox News will just be settling with everyone left and right and writing big checks. And the old man down in Australia, he's got the money to do it, and he'd rather not be embarrassed. And so why not? Go for the jugular, Mr. Epps. In the brazen, audacious spirit of the day. Not surprised at all. Now, speaking of all that, we go into the justice file, where we check in with former Olympic coach Larry Nassar. Now, if you folks remember Larry Nassar, he was put on trial for molesting hundreds of girls. He was what kind of coach was he? I forget. But it's obvious, right? Anyway, anybody who lets their daughter get into all of this gymnastics, I just don't advise it, that's all. I'm not saying every gymnastics coach is a child molester, but this guy was. Child molester, Larry Nassar. And by the way, Larry Nassar was stabbed in prison, where he's serving hundreds and hundreds of years for sexually assaulting his gymnasts. And for whatever reason, AP listed this story in their politics section, which is really odd. This doesn't seem like it's politics, but I don't know anymore. Anyway, he was stabbed on July 10th. He was stabbed, Larry Nassar, that is, child molester, was stabbed twice in the neck, twice in the back, and six times in the chest. And now this is all according to prison guard and union president there at the prison, Joe Rojas, who has worked at the prison for nearly 30 years. And you wonder, why are we hearing all this from a prison guard and the union boss? Well, we'll get to that. He has all the details on Larry Nassar being stabbed. Rojas, union boss Rojas, says that Nassar is lucky to be alive. And Rojas says, if it wasn't for the staff who was there, he wouldn't be with us today. Unquote. That's Mr. Nassar, would have departed the planet if it wasn't for the staff. The staff, you see, was there, and they saved Mr. Nassar's life. He's lucky to be alive. Fortunately, the staff was there. Yeah. Let's see. The Associated Press goes on to report, so far it is unclear how it happened or why it happened, yeah. Meaning the stabbing of the pedophile. Well, we know why it happened. Well, and we know how, too, he was stabbed. So that means the penetration of an object through the skin, generally at least, and then often through other tissues as well. So we know exactly how it happened. We know exactly why it happened. Now, normally, according to officials there, yeah, the only thing that's unclear, well, yeah, we know how it happened, we know why. The only thing that's unclear is why did it take so long? Why did it take so long for the pedophile to be stabbed in prison? Normally, that happens in relatively short order. But that was in the past. We're now on to a new age where the prisoners no longer stab the pedophiles. So what's happened is the pedophile normally only mingles with other sex offenders. You see, in the prison now, they have separate populations. And they put the pedophiles in a pile with the pedophiles and all the bank robbers with the bank robbers. Well, all the other criminals, they all mingle together because they're old-fashioned criminals. But they try to keep the pedophiles away. The union boss down there, Joe, says he's in a special unit where he doesn't socialize with the normal population.
Normal?
He said normal. I appreciate that. He said normal. Well, I mean, they're normal criminals. They're not child molesters, for crying out loud. Anyway, the Nasser's been in prison since 2018. Guy's been in there almost 5 years, and he's only getting stabbed now. That's a clear sign that our nation is in decline. View, and I am your host, Doug McBurney. Thank you so much for hanging with us through the first break. So we've got a child molester in prison for 5 years, only getting around to stabbing him right now. And the Union Local 506 president, Joe Rojas, who's bringing us the details on the stabbing of Olympic coach pedophile Larry Nasser. He says that the stabbing came just 2 weeks after the prison staff protested levels of understaffing. Rojas, union boss, Local 506, says that the protest was prophetic of such an attack. He says, "We called this. We said this was going to happen," unquote, regarding the stabbing of the pedophiles. So that's why we're hearing from the union boss. They're positioning the stabbing and bludgeoning of the molester. They're positioning that as a call to action for better funding and more staff there at the prison. Yes. Anyway, let's see. As of two Saturdays ago, because this all happened on July 10th, ladies and gentlemen. And as of two Saturdays ago, he was listed, the molester was listed in critical condition. And so I jumped back into the news over the past 48 hours to check on the story to find out, has he recovered? Has he died? What's happened? And there are no updates on Larry Nasser's condition because apparently nobody really cares what happens. Nobody cares about the condition of a child molester who's been stabbed. I mean, unless he dies, they'll report on that. But otherwise, nobody really wants to look in on him. Which is a sort of a ray of hope there for the country. But anyway, so the guy gets stabbed. How many times? He stabbed twice in the neck, twice in the back, six times in the chest, and the guy is alive? So this is like a typical union gig, you know? They can't get a job done right. So now, wait a second. I'm not, a pedophile should not be targeted by union thugs. Or other prisoners, they should not be set up to be stabbed or anything like that. Certainly not. They should be, pedophiles, child molesters should be killed by their victims and their victims' families the way it should be in a civilized society. That's, of course, after receiving a fair trial and being sentenced by a judge, pedophiles should be bludgeoned and beaten to death by their victims and the victims' families. Of course, we're civilized people here. We don't call for vigilante type justice or anything like that. Now, we go into the where should we go? So we're going to do a countdown. We're thinking to run a pool on how long it will take for Jason Aldean to apologize for his song condemning rioters and to yank his song off. You think he won't? You think he will? He asked his extremely attractive audio engineer.
I never heard of
him. You don't even know the story of the country singer?
I don't care.
He wrote a song condemning rioters, and everybody's canceling him or trying to cancel him. I'm not familiar with the young man because I haven't listened to country music since 1983. But Jason Aldean, we're just assuming he's going to apologize and retract. But well, let's hope he does not. That will be a barometer of how far down the rat hole we are, is if Jason Aldean apologizes and comes out as gay in order to keep his Nashville. Let's hope that doesn't happen. Yeah, we're also, speaking of, we're going to have a poll, but we don't want to do a poll. We're looking into trying to figure out the technology to start a contest or a pool, see, that people could buy into, start a pool to see who can guess closest to the date of Dylan Mulvaney's suicide. Because Dylan Mulvaney's 15 minutes are almost over, and once those 15 minutes are over, it's just a matter of time before Dylan Mulvaney commits suicide. And we were thinking here at the Weekly Worldview, we could make it interesting and entertaining by starting a pool. Everybody buys in for a dollar or whatever, and maybe $10. And then whoever guesses the date closest to the actual date, then they would win a prize. They would win the pot, I guess is how it goes. Anyway, I was speaking with an associate who said the technology is there. It exists. So it's possible we could open that up. We're planning on waiting until Dylan's 15 minutes were over. But I suppose the time to do it is now. I suppose as soon as he comes out and endorses his next big product, that would be the time, whether it's makeup or football equipment. What would be the next logical place for shaving cream? I don't know. So it's possible that the technology exists and we could run that pool. If you're interested, you could just leave your credit card on the website and we'll get back to you on that. Okay. Meanwhile, in serious news, because that was not really, we go into the killing after Roe file. That's right. Roe versus Wade was overturned. We're winning. We're winning. Just the News reports that the FDA has just approved the first over-the-counter daily birth control, is what they're calling it. They're calling it daily birth control. So, and it's over-the-counter, meaning that your daughter can go and buy pills that allow her to participate in unrestrained sexual immorality at any time and give her a feeling that she can do so without the consequences that you've tried to teach your kids exist for those who participate in unrestrained sexual immorality. There are consequences. Well, now the FDA says they've taken one of those consequences off the table, for which everyone at the FDA should, the doors of the FDA should be kicked in and federal agents should arrest them for what they just did. They call it daily birth control. I have a report in my hand from the National Institutes of Health that report on the particular drug that was just approved. I'm not going to name it because, but it uses a hormone called progestin. And progestin, when prescribed in specific doses, can prevent the release of an ovum. They can't. Progestin can't prevent the release of an ovum, and progestin, this is according to the National Institutes of Health, another federal agency aligned with the federal agency that just approved over-the-counter so-called birth control. Progestin can prevent the release of the ovum, and progestin makes its movement through the fallopian tubes into the uterus more difficult. Progestin also thickens the mucus in the cervix, which stops sperm from penetrating to reach the ovum. And in the unlikely event that an ovum becomes fertilized, the hormonal disruption makes the lining of the uterus inhospitable for implantation. This multiple mode of action makes progestin among the most reliable of all contraceptives. See, they don't use the word abortifacient, but if you read the description of how the drug works, you can see that it is an abortifacient. It's not only a contraceptive, it doesn't only prevent pregnancy, it ends a pregnancy. Now, and it's right there in their own documentation. They don't even deny that it prevents an embryo from implanting. And of course, they do that. They say that. They're not ashamed to say that because they changed the definition of pregnancy to after implantation only. They don't count the pregnancy before it implants. So if they can prevent the implantation, they believe that they can still use the term contraception. They made it all okay. And supposedly, doctors and nurses trained for the past 30 years or so since this definition was changed. Supposedly, those doctors and nurses, they think and they've been trained that pregnancy doesn't begin until after implantation. And supposedly, the doctors and nurses believe that. And I don't believe them. So no, everybody knows when pregnancy starts. It doesn't matter what you're trained to say or to believe. None of that matters. If you're a thinking, rational human being, you know when pregnancy starts. And if you claim you don't, I don't believe you. And I'm going to hold you responsible regardless of whether or not you claim you know anything, because I know what you know. Because we all know. And so the FDA has now approved over-the-counter abortifacient pills for our children. And Roe versus Wade was overturned, by the way. Did I mention that? Did I mention that giant victory for life that was achieved? Abortifacient pill. By the way, it's not just this over-the-counter daily birth control, quote-unquote. Abortifacient pills are legal in all 50 states. And all of the pro-lifers and all of the Republicans that are passing all the laws in the wake of Roe v. Wade, they all know that abortifacient pills are legal, and none of them are going after abortifacient pills, as far as I know. If they are, please send me a memo. I'd like to send my congratulations to any organization and or politician who are focusing on criminalizing baby-killing pills, poison pills to kill babies. So there, that's that. Very, very distasteful and just horrible, awful. Awful state of affairs. And from there, we fall and stumble backwards into the Just a System file, where Charles Manson follower Leslie Van Houten was released from prison after serving 53 years. Leslie Van Houten is now in a transitional living facility. Now, not that kind of transition. Don't get the wrong idea. I mean, even the Manson family would have been shocked by the trannies all over in public today. Even the Manson family would have been like, what? Wait, they're doing what? They're old-fashioned murderous psychopaths. Let's see. Gavin Newsom, he had reversed Van Houten's parole grant three prior times since taking office. But the governor issued a statement through some mouthpiece named Aaron. Aaron says, quote, "The governor is disappointed that Van Houten has been approved for release, but will not pursue further action as efforts are unlikely to succeed." So Governor Gavin Newsom, true to form, for fear of failure, will not proceed in trying to keep a psychopathic murderer, Leslie Van Houten, in prison. For fear of failure. So for fear of failure, a coward does not pursue doing right. A brave and principled politician. Well, forget politician. A brave and principled person pursues doing right, even if it's likely they will fail. But Gavin Newsom is a coward, and a coward does not pursue doing right for fear of failure. Not surprised at all. Leslie Van Houten, by the way, the AP cites that she was only 19 when she participated in the August 10th, 1969 murders of Leno LaBianca, a wealthy grocer. The AP mentions that he was wealthy, you know. They couldn't just say the Leno LaBianca, an American, a man, a human being. No, he's a wealthy grocer. And his wife, Rosemary, both were murdered. The LaBiancas were stabbed to death, and the word war was carved into Leno LaBianca's stomach by one of the deranged, drugged-out, psychopathic murderers in the Manson family. In a 1994 interview, Leslie Van Houten said, quote, "I stabbed Mrs. LaBianca about 16 times. And Leslie Van Houten is now an example to the youth of America. She is free today. It's the Weekly Worldview. And yeah, that's like a sick, twisted version of Sis Sick Twisted is what it all is. It's the Manson family coming home to roost, right? Charlie Manson died in prison, if I'm not mistaken. I believe he's dead. He died of old age because the system was incompetent to do what was necessary with Mr. Manson. And so because murderers have a pretty good chance of going free, more people are murdering other people. Oh, well, I have an example here. A stagehand for Randy Travis. Randy Travis is a famous country music singer. A stagehand for Randy Travis was shot dead by his wife. Christine Roberts, 72, has been arrested and charged with criminal homicide. Criminal homicide, because we need as many words as possible to define crimes, because there's a whole industry. And had she been charged with another type of homicide, there might have been another group put in charge of her to make their living from processing her through the system. And so the criminal homicide charge, that ensures that she will be processed by the right group of professionals. She shot her husband, Thomas Roberts, 68 years old, on the porch of their Nashville, Tennessee home. When officers came and asked her, "Why did you shoot your husband?" she said, quote, "Because he cheated on me," unquote. And she shot him. It's like a Jimi Hendrix song, right? It's like, yeah. Mr. Roberts died from a single gunshot wound to his chest. Let's see. You know, folks, if statistics were kept, sexual immorality would be listed as the leading cause of murder. And it's kind of ironic that Mr. Roberts made his living in country music, because country music, half the songs are about cheating. And the other half are about drinking, and drinking and cheating is the foundation of country music. And Mr. Roberts ends up in a rather poetic, experiencing a rather poetic end. His life is sort of like a country song. And if we kept track, but we don't keep track. Why don't we keep track? You know, the government is obsessed with maintaining statistics on all manner of public health issues. And some of the most obscure statistics imaginable are on file somewhere in the state capitol or the federal capitol, everywhere, because they keep track of everything. But they don't keep track of murder as a result of sexual immorality. Why don't they keep track? I'm going to tell you my suspicion as to why they don't keep track. Number one, it's because those data will not give them any power. They don't get any power from that. And it's because the governing officials are complicit in the immorality. So since they're complicit in it, if they kept track and released the statistics, it would expose their complicity. And so they don't want to keep track. It's like some cases are better left unsolved. You understand. So you got bureaucrats keeping track of every obscure data point imaginable, but not this one. Because it would expose their complicity. And maybe there's enough people in government who can no longer define sexual immorality. They would have a hard time figuring out how to gather the statistics, because many of our governing officials, they no longer even know what sexual immorality is. Well, they could come here to the Weekly Worldview, or that's why the government needs the church, because the church can tell them. We can show them what it is, and then they can show us what's going on, and then we can correct them in their complicity in the rampant sexual immorality, unrestrained sexual immorality, that's leading to more death and suffering than any other condition in the country. There's not a virus or a bacteria. There's not a congenital defect or other health problem, smoking, drinking, not wearing seatbelt, none of it. None of it compares to the amount of suffering and death and disease caused by unrestrained, rampant sexual immorality that's being facilitated by the government. And so it's time for a corrective action to be taken. I'm not sure exactly how we do that, but I know we don't pick up guns and start shooting the government, because that would be, well, it would be messy. But something's got to give fairly shortly, I think. Because it seems to me we're on the edge. It seems to me. But then again, I'm a natural-born pessimist. I can find the cloud behind every silver lining, according to friends of mine. But we go to the end of the world file for just... couple had an argument. In Winter Haven, Florida, a couple had an argument. A domestically involved couple. Why do we think they were involved? Well, one was a man, one was a woman, and the woman was pregnant. They got into an argument, and the 26-year-old man shot the 21-year-old pregnant woman to death in front of onlookers. The baby was also killed. The baby died as a result of his mother being murdered. Police say it's clear that this was a domestic-related double murder-suicide. What was the couple arguing about? Who knows? Probably nothing all that uncommon. But in modern society, often arguments about relatively mundane topics often end in murder. Especially when there's sexually immorality involved. And how do we know that there was in this case? Well, she was pregnant and they were not married. So there. That's all. And he shot her and then he shot himself, by the way. That's the end of the world for them. And a sad and tragic end. And a shameful and despicable end, by the way. Not just sad and tragic, shameful and despicable. Their families are both ashamed. They may not be able to admit they're ashamed. Nobody encourages them to say they're ashamed, but they're ashamed. It's a shameful, horrible, awful thing to have happen in your family. Does anybody even know what shame is? They know. They might act like they don't know, but they know. All right. Now, speaking of shame, I was not really paying much attention to the news this week, but apparently as I glanced at the headlines as the week progressed this past week, past 2 weeks, I guess, it turns out that the president of the United States is a big-time, small-time hustler. That, yeah, he's a big-time, small-time hustler who apparently has provoked a shooting war with Russia in Ukraine in part to cover for his criminal behavior. The evidence is, well, it's becoming overwhelming. ABC, CBS, NBC News, they haven't covered any of the testimony laying out that the president is a big-time, small-time hustler. And they haven't said anything about it on their nightly news broadcasts, on the evening news, or any of their morning shows. I don't know if anybody watches that stuff anymore. I know a whole bunch of people over 70 watch it. I have a friend who watches the morning show, the morning news, CBS Morning, or is it NBC Today? I forget. So anyway, you come out and that show's on the TV, you can feel your IQ decreasing the longer that show is on the air. But not a word about any of this. They're all reporting on Barbie, and they have big flashy pink pictures, and none of the testimony about the fact that the president is an obvious criminal who's accepted bribes to sell out America to other countries. It's just it's obvious. It's as obvious as the stealing of the 2020 election. Uh-huh. It's that obvious that the president is a crook and a small-time crook who, for small-time chump change, has sold out our country to, yeah, it's obvious. Now, Fox News apparently led with the story. I mean, except for the part about the war. That's, you know, but nobody even sees that. I mean, only a few right-wing radical news reporters understand that the war itself is related to Biden's corruption. There's only a few of us. And Fox is anything but right-wing, right? I mean, I've been saying that for I don't know how long. Yeah, right wing. Yeah, Fox is conservative. With all the trannies and the strippers and the weirdos and the fags on. Okay, forgive me for not watching Fox News. And now Tucker Carlson. Well, Tucker Carlson's producer is a homo, and his official biographer is a homo. Tucker Carlson's wife has to be somewhat uncomfortable with the fact that her husband prefers to work with homosexual men. It's okay, I'm just saying she's got to be uncomfortable. It would make me uncomfortable, that's all. If I was Tucker Carlson's wife, I would be uncomfortable. So, all right, so is anyone surprised that the person installed by Barack Obama's mother-in-law, the man installed by Barack Obama's mother-in-law appears to be a small-time corrupt governing official on the take selling out America to her enemies and to her friends and to anyone, to pretty much the highest bidder. Play it again. One more time. All right. It's the Weekly Worldview. And I am Doug McBurney. And yes, I was hoping they would play that riff one more time because they played it like 11 times. All right. So we're back. It's the Weekly Worldview. We've uncovered the fact that the president is a criminal and to the shock and dismay of everyone. No one, really, because, yeah. Okay, so we'll set that aside. Instead, let's go to Iowa, where the governor's name is Kim, and it's a girl. And I think, right? I actually don't know, because I don't know who the governor of Iowa is, and Kim could be a guy or a girl. So I'm not familiar, but Kim signed a 6-week abortion ban into law. So a ban, by the way, is in quotation marks, because Kim didn't ban any abortions as long as you use the baby-killing poison pills that are available at the drugstore, a prescription from your doctor. And as of next week, they'll be available everywhere. And actually, they have been available everywhere, because all prescription drugs are available to anyone at any time on the internet. Apparently, that's the case. And everybody knows that, and the government isn't doing anything about that. It's almost as if the government wants the people drugged out. Isn't that weird? Why would the government want people buying illicit drugs online? Well, I don't have an answer. It could be because they're complicit in the criminal activity. It's possible. Well, they're definitely complicit in the killing of unborn children. And Governor Kim out there in Iowa, whether it's a guy or a girl, we don't know, but it's a Republican. And the Republican said, let's see. Oh, she said, so it's a girl. Governor Kim said this week, the Iowa legislator, she said, quote, this week, the Iowa legislature voted to reject the inhumanity of abortion. All life is precious and worthy of the protection of our laws. She then went on to sign a law that bans abortion past when fetal cardiac activity can be detected, and then it has exceptions for when the life of the mother is in danger. It has protections for fetal abnormalities that would result in the baby's death, whatever that means, because nobody can really say that it would, but they could say that. Nobody can really know that, but they can certainly say that, meaning, oh, and then rapes that are reported after a certain number of days. Incest, if it's reported within a number of certain days. So that there's a bunch of things we can say so that we can keep on killing the baby, so that this ban doesn't really ban much of anything. And the one thing it does codify into the law is that there are certain innocent people that can be killed in certain circumstances. And Roe is overturned and we're winning! Yay! We're winning. The Republican governor of Iowa signs a fig leaf, fake, phony abortion ban and raises money and gets votes from gullible evangelicals and other stupid people. The bill goes into effect immediately. If it had any effect, it would go into effect immediately. It will not prevent a single child from being killed as long as those wanting to kill the child are willing to lie. And so do you think people who want to kill the child are willing to lie and fake the paperwork? And I suspect they might be. It's almost as if Governor Kim knows that this will be of no effect other than to further codify the legalized killing of innocent people. Do you think Kim knows that people who kill children do not obey the rules for killing children? Do you think Kim knows that? Or is she just gullible? And does she deserve the benefit of the doubt because she's trying her best? So I'll just say it for Governor Kim, if she's listening or someone can get her this tape. People who kill children do not obey the rules for killing children. And even if they might obey the rules, Governor Kim, should conservatives establish rules for murdering innocent people? Is that what we should be about, Kim? Just food for thought. That's all. Just maybe think about it, Governor Kim. Meanwhile, the House of Representatives, the GOP, the grand old party, the Republicans in the House have added provisions to the Defense Authorization Act limiting abortion and changes. The key word there, limiting. Uh-huh. They want limits on killing innocent people and sex change operations. Well, we're going to have some of that, but there certainly should be some rules around that. And so the House Speaker Kevin McCarthy helped write the rules, and then he praised the passing of the rules. He said, quote, a military cannot defend themselves if you train them in woke. Unquote. That is Kevin McCarthy. Mr. McCarthy, the job of the military is to defend the country, not themselves. But Kevin McCarthy, having never even understood what the military is, let alone condescend to join the military and put his own life at risk. No, he spent his youth going through school after school, and then anyway, he's never served anything but sandwiches and pork, and he just wouldn't know off the top of his head that the military isn't designed to defend itself. He wouldn't know that. And that's who we've got in charge of writing the laws of the country. It's unbelievable. The bill that Mr. McCarthy added the limits and the regulations on how to kill babies and how to sex change soldiers, that bill now moves to the Senate, where McCarthy knows that anything remotely approaching actual conservatism will be expunged by Mitch McConnell and the other leftists up there in the Senate. And so McCarthy can run back to California and fundraise on the fact that he's a conservative. He wants to write rules about how to transition soldiers, and how to kill babies. And, well, we're going to ban all that, is what he'll say back in California, where the gullible evangelicals will write him checks and elect him back as the Titanic sinks. Meanwhile, Secretary of Defense, who is the, it's the Secretary of Offense, he should be called, Lloyd Austin Powers. He recommended, what's come up, see, is they needed a new Chief Admiral of the Navy. I don't even know what they call the guy who's in charge of the Navy. So in the Marine Corps, you have a commandant. But I don't know what they call the people in charge of the Army, the Air Force, or the or what's the other one? The Army, the Navy, the Air Force. I don't know what the person in charge is called. I don't know what the man in charge is called, because I don't know. Probably I was a Marine, and we have a commandant, so we have a name for that. But I guess it's the Army commander. I'm not sure. The Navy admiral. Anyway, so the job is coming open. And so Michelle Obama's mom is now needs to pick someone to be in charge of the Navy. And the Secretary of Offense, Secretary Lloyd Austin Powers, he had recommended a Top Gun graduate with 6,000 hours in jets, 1,100 carrier landings, and experience commanding forces in a war zone. That's who the Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin, recommended. But Barack Obama's mom, I'm sorry, Michelle Obama's mom, picked a girl instead. Barry and the girls, they wanted a dike in place in case America needs defending so the dike could collapse. But they, wait a second. Hold on, who did they pick? Admiral Lisa Franchetti. Admiral Lisa Franchetti is not even a lesbian. So apparently they were unable to find a lesbian without any combat experience. And so instead they found a woman, a normal woman. But most importantly, no combat experience whatsoever. The Navy, in her official Navy bio, says that she is, quote, currently married to James. And then James has a different last name for some reason, which is kind of weird. And she has a daughter named Isabel. And then now this isn't on her official bio, but this is the official Weekly Worldview bio of Admiral Lisa Franchetti. She has never heard a shot fired in anger. She has never sailed a boat. She has never flew a plane. And she has never been in combat. And she's been chosen by Michelle Obama's mom to be the admiral in charge of the Navy, whatever they call that person. So there you go. Another milestone on the decline and fall of Western civilization. The Navy is being run by a girl who's never fired a cap pistol. That's great. Speaking of airplanes. So on the airplane, I was on several airplanes for, by the way, flying in the third world is not fun. And by, you know, we've descended into second class, third world level of services now. We'll probably never regain our former ability to serve one another that we had before the coronavirus hysteria, the flip out. The greatest failure of courage in the face of a potential crisis in the history of mankind, I think. We may never return to our former ability to serve one another. And I was on airplanes that were delayed and canceled and then canceled and delayed. And if I'm not mistaken, my last three trips have all involved delays or cancellations of grotesque proportions compared to anything I've ever experienced in my life. So, and then when you do get on the plane, you end up sitting next to, like I did, the palest millennial man with a man bun that I've ever seen in my life. So he was so soft that his hands, they were soft and smooth. They looked like they were from one of those Palmolive commercials from back in the 1970s. So I assume it was a man. He had no visible muscle tone. He had stringy, unkempt hair swept up into a half-hearted, stacked-up bun that was kind of halfway falling apart. Couldn't even put his hair into a tight bun because he's so lazy and soft. Just enough facial hair to project laziness and unkemptness, but not quite enough to project masculinity. And why do I note that I was sitting next to this particularly sad example of American masculinity? I couldn't help but notice that he had Veni Vidi Vici tattooed vertically down the back of his arm, where I believe his triceps would be if there was any visible muscle tone, but again, there was no visible muscle tone. Anyway, I wanted to ask this kid, he's probably 35 years old. I wanted to ask him what he had conquered. What did you come and see and conquer, young man? Anyway, I didn't ask because I was afraid I'd get the lowdown onto his whole video game fantasy life that he lives. I wasn't about to subject myself to anything like that. Anyway, but and the guy had the earbuds on the whole time, of course. Earbuds, by the way, are what I call virtual people. So there are normal people, right? That which is like me and other, like you and me. We're normal people, he said to his extremely attractive audio engineer. And to everyone who's listening, right? We're normal people. But then there are virtual people. And virtual people have the earbuds that's their prophylactic against real people invading their safe space. So it's the AirPod Bud, AirBuds, is that what they're called? The specifically the Apple version with the white sticks sticking out of the ear. That's like a sign. Don't talk to me. Leave me alone. I'm insecure. And so that's what Mr. Veni Vidi Vici had sticking out of his ears on the airplane. In the seat across the aisle from me. I couldn't get on the plane. I had to check my bag because I had rocks. I bought some rocks at the International Conference on Creationism. I bought some rocks, some geodes. Are they called geodes or diodes? I think they're geodes. You crack them open and they're all the crystalline, right? So I bought some for the kids, and the folks at TSA, they had a regular conference. There was, I think at one point, there was like six of them standing around our bag looking at these rocks. Just astonished. Like, what should we do? They're rocks. And I said, yeah, they're rocks. They're geodes, you know, for the kids. And they said, well, we don't think they're allowed on the plane. And I said, Really? And they said, well, we're not sure. They might be too large. I said, you have rules about how big a rock is that? Because I know you have the 3.5 ounces of a liquid that you're only allowed to bring on, even though I've brought 7 or 8 bottles of 3.5 ounce liquids, which I'm sure is enough that I could concoct a bomb if that's what I wanted to do. So I bring a total of 12 or 16 ounces of liquids. I just break it up into 6 bottles. Well, you think I'm too dumb to I can't put it together and blow the plane up? But I know you have those rules. I didn't say that, of course. Because if you say something like that, then they flip out. Then they feel like they actually have a purpose in life and would probably try to handcuff me. But I did ask him, I said, so you have a rule on how big a rock you can bring on the plane? And they said, well, you know, if it could be used as a weapon. And I said, well, a rock can certainly be used as a weapon, that's for sure. And I think that sealed it. Then they're like, okay, yeah, you're going to have to check this bag. Is that okay? So as if they so they don't understand that if there's anyone on that plane who should have a weapon, it should be me. So me or someone like me should have a weapon on that plane. But anyway, they made me check the bag. I checked the bag. I had to pay $30 to check the bag. I come back. The flight's totally sold out. They start asking people, can we check your bags for you for free? So I felt like I was robbed. And then they canceled the flight, and I had to spend the night in Columbus, Ohio, which was delightful, actually. Went out into the country and saw fireflies. It was delightful. All right, so now we're almost out of time here. And now that Barack Obama's mother has appointed, she appointed Admiral Lisa Franchetti. It's not a lesbian, by the way. Currently married to James for the moment. I mean, she hasn't come out yet because that has not yet been required of her. We'll see if that becomes required. I wonder what she would do. Would she ditch James and, like, move in with the... what's the tranny who runs the Health and Human Services? Do you think she'd be willing to do that for a promotion? I mean, anyone who spent that much time and climbed that high in the Navy bureaucracy, I think she would probably ditch James and move in with, I think that guy's name is James, actually. The tranny at HHS? Anyway, let's move on from that because the president is sending Marines into the Middle East in the wake of Iranian piracy. And now that we have Lisa in charge of the Navy, we can be sure that the one thing the Iranians will be afraid of is to mess with the U.S. Navy. Barack Obama's mother-in-law is sending approximately 2,500 Marines, which fortunately, last time I checked, is still enough Marines to defeat the entire Iranian Navy in any type of situation. Even if the Marines didn't have a boat and they had to swim, they would still defeat the entire Iranian Navy. Last I checked, unless the Marines are busy cross-dressing one another. Now, that might be. That's the new Marine Corps operation. You know, you used to run while carrying heavy things, and now it's how fast can you get your team member out of his camis and into a dress or a skirt or something. So let's hope the Marines aren't doing that. Now, I have a quote here. Is this a quote? The deployment comes on the heels of decisions in recent weeks to send the USS Thomas Hudner, a destroyer, and a number of F-35 and F-16 fighter jets into the region. There have also been A-10 tank air. So why are specific units and equipment deployments appearing in the press? I'm reading this in a news article. What's going on with this? Does anyone understand operational security anymore? Hey, why don't we put how many A-10s and we'll put what plane they're on and what time they're scheduled to launch? Why don't we put all that out? So I'm going to stop right there. I might be leaking classified information for crying out loud. General Eric Kurilla, who heads the Central Command and provides dresses to Marines exhibiting any gender dysphoria, said that the additional forces, quote, provide unique capabilities, which alongside our partner nations, safeguard the free flow of commerce and prevent Iranian destabilizing activities in the region. That's General Eric Kurilla, who issued that statement and apparently also posted a video of himself auditioning for a drag queen story hour position that was posted in the Stars and Stripes last week. We don't know if that position's been filled, but General Eric Carrilla has submitted a video so that he'll be in line. Should a promotion come, that will be a feather in his cap. Okay, so what else? Do we have anything to end on that's... Viktor Orban. Let's end with Viktor Orban. Right? That way we don't have to be depressed. From the last man standing file, Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban spoke before his nation's Festival of Ideas in Romania's Bale Tusnad on Saturday. And Mr. Orban, by the way, is the longest-serving national leader in the European Union. He said that the continent is suffering from an identity crisis. He argued that liberal ideals of the Enlightenment are showing their weakness. He said 2 centuries ago, leftist intellectuals believed that rejecting faith and destroying Christianity would usher in a utopian society based on rationality, but he argued that that's just an illusion, and that by having rejected Christianity, we, he said, speaking of Europe, have in actual fact become hedonistic pagans, said Viktor Orban right to their faces. That's right. Let's see. For Mr. Orban, this is most clearly demonstrated by progressive ideas surrounding gender. The Hungarian government introduced a law in 2021 to prevent the spread of LGBTQ+ materials. That's right. And he says the European Union is waging an LGBTQ campaign against pro-family European nations. He says it is not Christian. It does not hold convictions. He says we have no choice. We must keep fighting. All right. Viktor Orban. If only he could replace Barack Obama's mother-in-law here in America. Thank you for tuning in this week. I want to thank my friends at Real Science Radio. And, of course, who else? My extremely attractive audio engineer. And of you there for listening. Thank you very much. Should the Lord tarry, we will return next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you. And may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.